Our scripture passage for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 10 through 16. Listen for God's holy word. Jeremiah the prophet said, "Thus says the Lord, in this place, of which you say it is a waste, without human beings or animals, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without inhabitants, human or animal, there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voices of those who sing as they thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is a waste, without human beings or animals, and in all the towns there shall be again pasture for the shepherds resting their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem and the towns of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
In our passage for today, we hear about the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding towns and villages of Judah in a situation of desolation. In the streets of the cities and villages, there is emptiness, empty streets, no people, no animals, no sounds of joy. In this moment in Jeremiah's lifetime, the people of Judah are hiding. They're hiding from the streets in the face of a fearful future. The armies of Babylon are marching towards Judah, and things do not look good. In the empty streets, we are told that there is no one left to make the sounds of joy, the sounds of mirth, as the text puts it. Jeremiah notes that the sounds of weddings, the sounds of brides and grooms calling to one another, these joyful sounds are no longer heard. It's a scene of quiet, of desolation. In his commentary on this passage, influential Old Testament scholar Walter Bergamon explains that for the prophet and his culture, marriage was a sign of hope. A marriage was an investment in the future. It was a way to carry a family's life and the name of that family forward, to make a new family, but then, of course, to produce new life, children who would live into the future and continue to live faithfully before God as partners in God's plan for this world. Marriage, therefore, for the prophet and his time, was seen as an investment in the future. It was a tangible way for people to demonstrate hope. In Jeremiah's day, people weren't feeling too hopeful about the future. There were no weddings taking place, and so no one was investing in that future. It was another way to express the reality of the lack of hope. As I read this passage this week, it was easy to find parallels between the prophet's time and our own recent experiences. When the coronavirus first hit, one of the main things that everyone noticed was how little traffic there was on our regularly busy New Jersey roads, right? People were at home. They weren't moving around like they used to. And there's a marked difference this year compared to last year at the height of the pandemic. This fall, when Jamie and I cross 518 to bring our girls to and from preschool, we have to dodge traffic again. But last year, 518 through the village of Blauenberg, the silence of wedding celebrations has also been a frustrating and a sad feature of this pandemic. I really haven't been asked to do too many weddings yet in my career as a pastor, but for some reason, just before the pandemic struck, I was making plans to officiate three different weddings. Each of those couples' initial plans for their wedding celebrations in the summer or fall of 2020 were canceled. Instead of having the sounds of wedding bells and music and snapping camera shutters and the voices of friends and family and the sounds of a dance floor, all of those joyful sounds, they were silent and they were absent from our lives. And with the silence of wedding celebrations, there was also a general sense of unease about the future. If a wedding is an investment in the future, then the lack of weddings was a fitting signal that in the face of this pandemic, the likes of which none of us have ever experienced before, none of us really knew what the future held. The lack of weddings were a sign that our hopes for the future, our hopes were uncertain. The prophet Jeremiah is known for dreariness. He's known for his dreary prophecies. But Jeremiah's prophecies were not all gloom and doom. Along with the sobering words, God also gave Jeremiah visions and words of hope. God gave hope to Jeremiah, hope that God would restore the fortunes of God's people. For Jeremiah, there was hope that God would restore the peace of Jerusalem. Shepherds and sheep would return. The people would come back to the streets. Marriages would begin to take place again. And of course, with those marriages would come children and a very special child. A special child promised by God, a branch from the line of King David, hope for a future king to be born. A child, a sign of hope, a sign of a future with promise. God's promise to Jeremiah that God would restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and that a child would be born. Here the language is the heir of a king, King David, a branch from David, a shoot from Jesse. According to God's grace and provision, a new king would rise up, and that king would bring healing and justice and goodness and restoration. People of God, this Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and perhaps this new church season finds our hearts feeling as empty and as silent as the streets of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. I wonder how much joy and merriment do we find in our hearts? Perhaps we have some. Right? I can give testimony that I have some joy and gladness in my heart this day. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, a time when we reflect on what we are grateful for, a time when we perhaps are able to see family and friends and eat special holiday foods. My parents are here. They came to visit. We cooked a turkey. We had pumpkin pie. We got a Christmas tree. We decorated. And we had time after the girls were in bed to play some of our favorite games. Even if your Thanksgiving was lackluster this year, we all have some reasons for joy and gladness this season, for we have one another. We have this loving, supportive church family. And so we have reasons for joy and gladness, but this Sunday is a time to reflect on hope. And when it comes to hope, how are we doing? When it comes to hope for the future, where are our hearts? Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and Advent is the beginning of the new church year. Happy New Year. Thank you. Happy New Year. I've only been around for 36 years, but this year, the future feels more uncertain than ever before. Did you think in 2020 that you'd be feeling that way about 2021, 2022? Seems like we're not doing very well. We have all of these lingering problems and conflicts and disasters and things going on. If you are like me, hope is in short supply right now. When it comes to hope, perhaps our hearts are like the silent streets of Jerusalem and the desolate towns of Judah, places of silence where there are no hopeful wedding bells currently ringing. So our question is, what is God teaching us in this passage today? What message of hope does God have for us this week? And I can tell you that the answer is bold and dramatic. When Jeremiah and his people faced a hopeless future, when their wedding celebrations had been silenced, suddenly they were given hope. Suddenly they had hope in the form of God's renewed promises. That's it. That's it, people of God. The future that Jeremiah and his people had in their time, the future looked dire. when it came to the headlines and the tea leaves and what anyone could see or understand or predict, there was really no reason to be hopeful. Things simply didn't look good. Things were bad. And it made sense that there were no wedding bells ringing. But then the living and active word of God came to Jeremiah, and the surprising and extraordinary word of God delivered a message. The message was this: you do have reason to hope. You have a reason to be hopeful, and the reason is God. The reason is God. People of God, the reason why Jeremiah could be hopeful, the reason was that God reminded Jeremiah of God's identity as a God who cares about us, who cares about our world, and who cares about our future. God loves this world. God made this world. God made this world so God could dwell in this world with us, God's beloved creations. God made and formed us and put us in this world so that God could have and would have more beings, more persons to love and to share in the dance and fellowship of God's divine joy. When our sins and the evils of this world and the pollutions and corruptions of this world sent this world into chaos and trouble, God stepped in to remind Jeremiah that we have a reason to hope. For our God is the God of all creation, a God of love. A God's who desire it is to see this world at peace and to see us, God's people, flourishing. God's promise to Jeremiah, God's promise to us, is that God will not leave us to a silent or a desolate or a despairing future. God's promise to us is that God has a good and a blessed future in store. God promised Jeremiah that the sounds of life would return to Jerusalem and its surrounding towns. God's word mentioned the land of Benjamin, and of course, located there in Benjamin is the city of Bethlehem. God's word mentioned shepherds returning to that land, shepherding and keeping watch over their flocks. God's word mentions weddings and the joy and hope that comes when two lives are joined together and bring into this world new life. And of course, these details send our minds to the Christmas story. Thinking about marriage as a symbol of hope, thinking about marriage as an investment in the future, it's profound to think of God's promises and the story of Mary and Joseph. They were engaged to be married. They were on their way to that hopeful act of joining their lives together to help invest in God's future. And even before they were wed, suddenly and unexpectedly by God's grace and power, Mary was found to be with child. It was like God was so eager and excited to invest in a future of hope that God was willing to skip a few steps along the way. God was so ready to move the story forward and to get to work investing and establishing a joyful and a peaceful world that God couldn't help but get the story started. People of God, we have reasons to hope. And the reasons are God, God's promises, and God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2020, I was asked to officiate 3 weddings, more weddings than I had previously officiated in all of my previous years of ministry combined. I've only been doing it for 8 years. Anyway, the initial plans for all of those weddings were canceled. The initial plans were all canceled, but all 3 of those couples got married. Their marriages went forward. New dates were chosen. Safer environments were arranged. Smaller guest lists were invited, and all 3 couples made their vows and looked ahead to a future of hope. And I'm happy to report that at least one of those couples is now expecting a child. Sorry, Chip and Eleni, I'm stealing your thunder. Just kidding, it's nothing. A precious baby is coming into this world. You know, me and Jamie's friends, they're having a baby. We're so excited. A child is a sign of hope, a sign of hope for the future. And I wish that I could predict with certainty what the future will hold for that precious child, but of course, I can't. But this morning, God encourages me and all of us. God encourages us to hope. For yes, while things may seem dire, it is still the case that we know and we serve the God who made all things, the God who loves all things, and the God who has promised to bring this world to an experience of joy and peace. And so, people of God, hope, 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 for God still holds the future in God's hands. Amen.